And I started writing down my notes, and then when I got back the other night to preparing a message, I went to look at my notes, and I started writing, read the verse again, and started writing my message, and before you knew it, God took it a whole different direction than where I first started. So I was praying a lot about this, and I'm thanking the Lord that I believe this is his message, and this is what he brought for me to give to you today. So 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and a fairly common verse. This is Elisha and Elijah. So, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons and the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away the master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you on this last Wednesday before tent meeting, Lord. We pray you'll touch our hearts, Lord, prepare our hearts for the preaching of your word next week. Help to encourage us, uplift us, Lord. Help us to just be open to whatever you'd have for us next week. Help us to be the servants you want us to be. Help us to be here for our church and for the needs of the ministry here and for our preacher. Lord, would you pray for our preacher? We pray you'd bless his heart tonight as he's at the summit and throughout this week, Lord. We pray you'd encourage him, Lord. We know we've had some tough times with our general fund, Lord, and some challenges here, Lord, and we pray you'll just be with him now. Guide him in your ways, Lord. Lord, now I pray for your Holy Spirit power on me, Lord. I can't do this without you, and I need you to speak through me. Use me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I titled this Faithful Servant, but I really cued in on the verse, I will not leave thee. Because as I read that verse the first time, I kept touching back and back again, Elisha's response to Elijah, I will not leave thee. And I thought, what better friend would you want by your side than someone that says, I will not leave thee, over and over and over again. And prior to this, we really don't know a whole lot about Elisha. We know Elijah was walking through and he came upon Elisha and threw his mantle upon him, and Elisha went back to him and said, Elijah asked Elisha to follow him. And Elijah came back to him and said, let me say, kiss my parents goodbye. And he took care of the oxen and gave them as food for the people around him. And then he went with Elijah from then on out. And that's all we hear of Elisha until this point when Elisha takes over. But I imagine at this point that Elisha had been faithful to Elijah all throughout. When Elijah called him, by God, Elisha was right there with him. Elisha was ready to do whatever Elijah called him to do and to be there for whatever his needs were. Elisha was a faithful servant to Elijah and, more importantly, to God. He didn't take distinguishment upon whether this was right or that was right. Whatever Elijah said, he knew Elijah was a man of God, and he was going to follow whatever Elijah said. Now, if Elijah wasn't a man of God, it'd be a totally different story. But he knew Elijah was a man of God and was faithful to whatever his calling was. We can learn about a lot about his heart by these eight simple verses. And it's the repeated ones. He is one that stood by the man of God's side throughout. He went where he was asked. He did what he was asked to do. I want to look at him and see what he had to do and a few others throughout to really see what it means to be a faithful servant to the Lord. And not just God, but to our pastor. So we know our pastor's had some hard times, from his times in the hospital to troubles with the church and people and things like that. It's not easy for him. He often says, you know, if he wasn't called, this wouldn't be a job he'd be in. I can't imagine. Because he's called by, he knows that's where God has him to be. And that's where he's going to stand strong. And so, and another end is where you're going to be faithful to your family and to your friends. your friends and family need a faithful man, a faithful woman, just as much as our pastor does and just as much as God does. Being someone who's found faithful is not easy. As I looked through the Bible, I found that the word faithful is roughly used about 78 times. But most of the times it's used in the case of God. Because who else can we depend upon but God? It's awesome to have faithful friends. It's awesome to have faithful family members. But at the end of the day, we know if I need something done, I'm going right to God. I'm going to the King of all kings, and he's the one that's going to answer my prayers and answer my needs. And he's the one that's found faithful. But look at Revelations 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So not only are we blessed by having a faithful God, but God's asking us to be faithful to him. And that's not an easy task to carry. Most of the time, as I said, it's for God who's faithful. And we fall well short of that. But how important is it to you to have faithful ones around you? Every husband and every wife wants a faithful spouse. You want a faithful friend. Faithful children. We want to know we can depend upon people. So I said, well, what does faithful mean? Well, what's more faithful than a dog? I know there's some dog lovers in here. There's nothing more faithful than a dog. You know, you walk through the door, that dog's going to come up and cuddle you. Now, I don't have a dog anymore. I grew up with dogs. But there's something about a dog that you can always trust them. And the Webster's Dictionary is pretty clear. It says, having or showing true and constant support or loyalty. Never a doubt. And I found the next part of the definition really interesting. Deserving trust. Keeping your promises or doing what you're supposed to do. And I talked to the teens the other night about trust. About building that foundation of trust. How it's such an easy foundation to break. And it takes a long time to build up. But we have those faithful people in our lives that we know we can trust. And we know we can look to. So I thought about faithful, I thought about what we could do here, but I thought about our membership in the church. So Shane and I have been coming here since 2003, roughly about 11 years, right? Which Charlie laughs at. There are a few members in this church that are faithful to this church, faithful to hear throughout thick and thin, throughout pastors being shot, and still here with our pastor throughout thick and thin, whatever happens, whatever it may be. And membership is faithful. It's important. But we've been in church for about 11 years here. We started here right before Logan was born. When God said to me, hey, you got to get your butt back into church. Because I wasn't going to raise my kid in a house that didn't know God. Little did I know that 3 years later I would get saved. And then God would begin working in my heart. But I mentioned Charlie. I mentioned Harry. A few others in here that have been faithful members to hear that. I know Pastor appreciates. He knows when he comes in on Sunday morning, these people are going to be here. And I'm preaching to the crowd here because it's a Wednesday night, the pastor's gone, and a guy that's not even a pastor is up here giving you a lesson. So I'm preaching to the crowd here, and I know Pastor Myers joked about it because a Wednesday night when the pastor's away isn't exactly one that most people are going to show up to unless you're faithful. And I appreciate your faithfulness because I know Brother Mike talks about how he appreciates me being up here. I know how hard it is to be up here, especially on a Wednesday night when you're not one that's the leader of the church. You're not one that's there, but it's nice to know that you have faithful friends and family of the church that will be here to support you in giving the message, but more importantly, where God wants you to be. So part of the reason this message all came together was about all the challenges that, when this jumped out at me, it was I started thinking about Pastor and what he's been through. Just in the last month, since the Vacation Bible School, the challenges we've had, the challenges with the general fund. We got our mower going on now. We hear about the problems with our truck. We got some issues. And it's weighs on our pastor. He's talked to the men many times about he needs faithful men. We've been praying for 20 sold out men that he can find faithful where he calls upon us and we're there. I talked to Preacher afterwards and he asked me if we were okay. And I told him, Preacher, I love you. I told him point blank, I love you. I'm going to stand by you no matter what. I know our pastor's a man of God. Is he human? Does he make mistakes? Absolutely. And he'll tell you he does. But at the same time, he's a man of God, and I know that. And I think we all know that from watching him here. And I so appreciate his testimony here and all he's done for this church and his leading here. So I want to talk to you about four key areas about how we can be faithful servants. So number one, and for some reason I relate everything back to running. I don't know why. I keep on my wristband that I run with, it has 1 Corinthians 9:24, so run that you may obtain. Because it's one of my life verses that I've claimed now. Because most of you know I love to run. But I can't run, I can't be in the race if I'm not there. When the race is up there, I better be at the starting line, I better be where I need to be. And as a faithful servant, you need to be there. That's the number one thing. That's the first thing you can possibly do. And we notice here, Elisha was there. Look at verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as thy Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. So when Elijah came back, he knew exactly where Elisha was. Elisha was standing there waiting for him. Elisha was exactly where God wanted him to be. And as I said, I'm talking to the crowd here, but are you where God wants you to be? Are you where God expects you to be? And it's always one of those things where whenever you're somewhere, are you thinking, is this where God would have me to be? And I was walking on Tuesday with some folks at work. We did a lap around our building as a way to get up and get out of the building for a little while. And they were asking me about church, and I mentioned that Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening. And they were like, what? And I said, I told someone else this. I said, no offense, I said, but the Sunday morning message to me, it doesn't stir my heart as much because it's meant for the Sunday morning crowd. I said, but sometimes it's really good and you want to be here for it, you don't want to miss it. But it's the Sunday evenings and the Wednesday evening messages that I find the most conviction at. That's when you really dive into the Word of God and you really can get something out of it. And so they look at me like I was crazy. And these are Christian people too, or at least one of them is a professed Christian. And she was just like, that's too much for me. But what else do you got to do on a Wednesday night? You know, sit home and watch TV? Watch some junk on TV? I don't know. My parents still think I'm a little crazy. When they were here for that 6 weeks with us, they were like, we're going to church again? Yeah, we're going to church again. It's Wednesday night. What better place to be? Happy am I. Happy am I. And it's not a chore, it's not a problem. It's where I want to be, and it's where I know I'm going to get the most blessing from. Amen. How about where your family expects you to be? So, and it's not just about God, it's about where your family wants you to be. Are you in a place where your family would know to look for you? And we had this message about the prodigal son. It's got to be several years ago now. My mind can't keep track of all the time. But the prodigal son, when he came back, where was his dad? Right where he left him. Right at home in the same farm waiting for his son to come back. He was there. He was there waiting. When the disciples when Jesus left the disciples, they were always right where Jesus left them. Jesus didn't have to go looking around going, where did the disciples go? So, people need to know that they can find you where they expect to find you. If pastor calls you up, are you going to be where he expects you to be? Now, granted, I don't need to check in with pastor and say, hey, preacher, I'm going on vacation this week, so just so you know, I'm not going to be here. But at the same time, is he going to call me up and I'm going to be down at the bar and ask me to go drive the truck somewhere, the church bus? No, he's going to have a faithful servant that's there and ready. Oh, sure, you need the bus driven? I'm there if I can drive the bus. And then, what about your friends? We talk about this all the time, whether our neighbors see our car parked in the driveway on a Sunday morning. Are we where our friends expect us to be, or our neighbors? Are our friends where we want them to be? Listen, if your friends aren't in church, then they're not so good friends. If your friends aren't following God, then you want to check your friends. Are they the right people you want to be hanging around with? Because they don't have any desire to be in church. Are they really someone you want to be that close with? We should be witnesses, we should be lights, we should be testimony to our friends, but at the same time, we have to manage that relationship properly. I mean, I'm with an unsaved crowd at work every day. I think I run a Bible study on Wednesdays there, and I think I have two faithful people that I can count on being there every Wednesday. And I have one other person who's a friend of mine and a Christian but he just has challenges getting there. So I have about three faithful people that I can depend on being there on a Wednesday. Everyone else in my world, in my work, is not necessarily a Christian. Maybe they go to church somewhere, maybe they do something, but I would not look at them as someone that I'd want to be very close with. So number one, we have to be there. We have to be there when God calls. We have to be there when he calls on us to go where he wants us to be. Next up, you better be ready. So you can get to the starting line, you could be set up and standing there, but when the gun goes off, are you going to be ready to go? And how can you be ready to go? So we find Elijah here ready at all times. He's not standing there, sitting down on the side of the stoop, just waiting for Elijah, and then when Elijah comes back and says, hey, Elijah, I need you to go, all right, let me finish up what I'm doing. No, he's ready to go. He's sitting there waiting for the opportunity for whatever Elijah has for him to go to. I look at my role in Sunday school. It was in 2006 when I got saved, and I went into pastor's office and I said, what do you need me to do? I said, I know you always say you need church workers. What do you need me to do? I didn't go in and say I want to be a Sunday school teacher. I didn't go in and say I want to be a bus worker. I said, what do you need me to do? And he pulled me into the Sunday school, and I joke with the kids about it. I think it was Logan's class I was joking about. I said, I was brought in to be the disciplinarian. That was my role. Talk about a fun role. I got fourth grade to sixth grade kids that are bussed in, so they don't have a whole lot at home. And some of them are wild and crazy, and you got Pastor Meyer up there, and my job is to keep those kids under control. My simple task was, if you don't get under control, you're going to sit with preacher, because I ain't dealing with you. But I did that for about a year. And I said, and I often said to Shay when I would come home afterwards, I said, I'd like to teach. I'd really like a chance to teach. But that's where God called me to do right now, and that's what I was going to continue doing. And so when Pastor Maya would call on me to step in to teach, I would step in to teach, but otherwise it was his class. And I think it was about a year to 2 years later he asked me to take over the class. And I was excited, and then I was nervous because I had to take on fourth grade to sixth grade without someone to be a disciplinarian. So I had the same class without anyone, but I had to be the disciplinarian and the teacher. But I was there, and I spent a year and a half, 2 years watching Pastor Meyer, learning how he worked to teach the kids to be ready when I'd be called for that next level. So how can you be ready? Are you ready to serve? First, you got to ask, what can you do? What can you do? Maybe there's not a role in the church that you see yourself at. I guarantee you there's a role in the church that you got a place for. But you got to ask to find out. And maybe you go, well, I can't drive a lawnmower, or I can't clean. I'm not a very good cleaner. Or I can't cook. I'm not a very good cook. But there's some needs there. I know Brother Mike always has needs over at the Easton Baptist Academy for fill-ins and things to do. You got to ask. You got to ask preacher. You got to ask God. What is it you have for me? And when I ask God, it's not just, hey, God, tell me what you want me to do. Maybe you got to take some steps to learn something. Maybe you got to get back in learning more on a computer or doing whatever it needed. We've been asking for someone to run the sound desk since Paul left for school. And we don't have anyone to run the sound desk. Pastor Meyer jumps back and forth between here and there. And I step in when I can do it to help him out. But we need someone to faithfully run the sound desk. So there's areas in the church that are needs, and Pastor has a list of them, but people need to ask, and people need to be willing to step up and learn, and take some time to learn what needs to be done. We need to prepare. Again, we need to take some time to prepare, to learn some trades, to learn what it is that we'd have in store. And we got to seek it out. We can't just sit there and wait. I look at, if you turn it over in Mark chapter 14, a pretty common verse here. Jesus is in prayer in the garden. Mark chapter 14. Let's see if I can find it. So I went old school today. I pulled out my Bible, even though most of you know I normally take my iPad. But the last time when I preached from my iPad, it was all messed up and I couldn't follow anything, so I said, let me get the Bible back out. It was much easier. Mark chapter 14, verse 17. And in the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat. Oh, that's the wrong verse, isn't it? Oh, I messed up a verse. Where was it now? I must have... Oh, there it is, over on the next side of it. Verse 14:32. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he said unto his disciples, "Sit ye here while I shall pray." And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch." And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that it were possible the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And this is the verse. "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour?" They weren't ready. Jesus asked them a simple thing. Look at Jesus' words there. "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death." Imagine if Pastor came here and said, "I need you guys to pray for me. I need you guys to get in prayer tonight. I need you to spend all night in prayer because something's a very heavy burden on me." Where are you at? Are you Simon Peter? Are you going to sleep? Or are you going to be there praying? When preacher comes back, is he going to find you praying, or is he going to come back? That's the question. I don't want to be like Simon Peter there. I understand their pain. You're tired. You were probably up early this morning. I was up at 4:30, 4:45. Went in and ran and came home, did some more work, and shoveled down some food and then made it over here. I'm tired. But if someone asks me to pray, I'm going to get in prayer for them. And I'm sure some same situation. Sometimes you're sitting here in the pew and it's been a long day. And you go down to prayer and you I just could fall asleep right there. I've been there. I'm not hiding it. I've been there. But here's Simon Peter. They're with Jesus, who needs their prayers. He needs them to sit there and be ready for him. And they fall asleep. Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to serve when someone asks us, "How do I get saved? How do I get saved?" Do you know the verses to go to in your Bible? Do you know the first verse to go to in your Bible? Do you have it underlined so you can lead it through? I'll be honest, I don't go soul winning on Thursday nights, and it's not because I don't want to. I actually love doing it. I used to do it with Pastor Meyer all the time. I just can't because of my work schedule. But I need to find other opportunities to go out and give people the gospel and share it. And I always think of the time when and I've probably told this story 100 times, but I'll never forget when I woke up on my bed after my cardiac arrest. I sat up, and who was next to me when I finally came to and had all my memory back? My mother was sitting right next to me. And my Bible was sitting right by my side. And I grabbed my Bible, and I talked my mom through the plan of salvation. That was the first memory I have when I woke up from sudden cardiac arrest, was walking her through the plan of salvation, her accepting Christ as Savior. Are you ready when you're called? Had I not been in church, had I not gone soul winning, had I not done what God asked me to do or been in my Bible, I wouldn't have known the verses to go to. She could ask me 100 times and I wouldn't have known. And I could tell you there were times back when I first made a profession of faith where people would ask me what my beliefs were and I could spit out stuff and I don't even know what I said. But then after I got truly saved in 2006, I could push people through the verses over and over again. It's an easy thing. It's easy to learn the plan of salvation. It's not a hard thing to learn. It's take your Bible, underline Romans 3:23, and then just give yourself little arrows. Go to 6:23. Go to Romans 9. Just give yourself little pointers. Go to Revelations. Give yourself the pointers in your Bible. If you got your Bible by your side, you don't have to know the exact verses off the top of your head, but you can easily walk through your Bible with someone. There was some, I think it was Brother Charlie, not this Brother Charlie, Brother Charlie Rossi, when I was soul winning with him. He carried index cards within his Bible so he could walk through the verses quickly. Whatever works for you. But what are you doing to get ready? So first off, you got to be there. You got to be where you want to be. Second, you better be ready. But then the tough part is, are you willing? Are you willing to go? And those are two contradictory pictures. And the first one is of the Wilps family. I took it off their website. because I love Brother Mike Wilp, so I'll never forget his passion for the mission when he came here and talked about his field in Paraguay. I just see his passion in his eyes and his burden for the people of Paraguay, and I pray for him all the time because I know his burden there. But there's a man that was there, he was ready, and he was willing to go wherever God called him. And he went out to the field, and he went out to the field with, I think, 80% support or 70% support. He went in less than 100% support. And I remember him saying when he was here, he actually, someone went to visit him and said, Mike, you can't live like this. You got a family, you got kids. And he was like, we're good. God's good. God's blessing. But because he just had a passion, he had a heart for it. But on the contrasting side, you have Jonah. If I could find Jonah, which is always the hardest one for me to find. Jonah chapter 1. I sat there the other night knowing I got to go into Jonah, and I flipped my Bible, I think, 100 times. Jonah chapter 1. There's Amos. There it is, Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence unto the Lord. We don't know a whole lot about Jonah, but I know he was there. I know he was ready, but he wasn't willing. Wasn't willing to go where God asked them to go. Imagine if our missionaries weren't willing to go where God called them to go. Imagine if they weren't willing to go to whatever field, no matter how hard it was. I think of, I can't think of his name now. The ones in Iraq that go and they try to, and they're doing it undercover, basically. The Dobbs. They're doing it undercover. Man, what a challenge. You can't go and be open about the gospel there. You stand the chance of persecution every day of your life. But they're willing to go wherever God called them to do. But here's Jonah, there, ready, but not willing. And he gets where God wants him to go. And I think of willing men, I think of sold out men. Sold out men, sold out women. Pastor's been praying for sold out men. Men that you can call upon and are willing and able there. I always give Pastor Meyer big accolades for all he does for this church. I couldn't imagine the church without Pastor Meyer. I would hear what he puts in, and part of it is because he lives 3 to 4 minutes, but also because he's just willing to go whenever preacher calls him up to go. He's willing to put aside everything to do what needs to be done. It'd be nice to have some more people that are willing to go whenever God calls us to do something, whenever our preacher calls. I know preacher, it would be a relief to him if he could pick up any number in our church directory and call that man up and say, hey, could you help me out? And if you're here, you'd say, sure, I'll be right on that. But instead, he has to call and call and call, or he calls the most faithful people regularly because those are the people he knows he can count on getting a yes from. And I'm not saying this, there's times when there's things that get in the way. You got families, you got things to do, and there's probably some times when you can't do it. But when you can, are you willing to sacrifice? I was home, and I don't say this to give me accolades or anything, but I was home one day, and I was home with the boys, and we were just playing, and Shay was at work or something, and preacher called me up and asked me for some help. I said, well, I got the boys with me. If you don't mind them being there, I can come over. And they ran around and had a blast running around in the parking lot and everything, but just went. And I was there for a lot longer than I anticipated being there. Blew my whole Saturday. But at the end of the day, God got the glory out of it. And I lost a Saturday, but I find other time to do stuff. There's other things you could be doing, but what's more important than what God has for you? The last part is just go. So you can be there. You could be ready. You could be willing. But then you got to do the hardest part, which is actually make the step. Actually go. I thought of, look at verse 13 through 15 there in our verses. 2 Kings 2, 13 through 15. And this is after Elijah gets pulled up in the whirlwind, up by the chariots of fire in verse 11. And in verse 12, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Elisha went. Elisha was there. He was ready. He was willing. And as soon as the opportunity knocked, when Elijah went up in that whirlwind, he grabbed that mantle and went. He didn't question God why God took Elijah away from him. He didn't sit there and say, oh no, what am I going to do? I'm all by myself now. He grabbed the mantle that Elijah left behind and went and smote the waters and separated part of the waters. It was a sign to the prophets that he had now taken it, that God had passed the power basically over to him to take on. But Elisha just went. Elisha was just willing to go. I looked at Moses. Moses wasn't so willing. Who am I? But he still went. I often, when I read through Genesis, I'm doing the Bible study again in the book of Genesis on my Wednesday service. And whenever we go through Genesis, I always think of Exodus, and I end up reading in Exodus more because I love the story of Moses. And having read the story, having seen the play Moses, and having read so much of Moses, it was just wonderful to see the play. But one of the things that always jumps out at me about Moses is when he saw the burning bush in verses 2 through 4 of Exodus 3, he turned aside. And it says there, when he turned aside, God spoke to him. It wasn't that Moses saw the burning bush and then just kept walking. Moses had to take a step towards the burning bush. He had to turn aside to take a look at what exactly was going on there. And when he took a step towards God, God came the rest of the way. That's the biggest challenge when God calls us to something. It's, we may be willing, but are we ready to take that first step? Does that first step look like it's a drop off an edge of a cliff that's going to fall down forever? Or is that first step about this far and then God's going to come the rest of the way up to you? Apologize for using a movie reference, but whenever I think of that, I think of Indiana Jones and I forget which one it is. But he's crossing this big archway and he can't see the bridge. You know which one it is? Is that the Temple of Doom?
Last Crusade.
And he sees this big archway, and it's empty. But it says there's a bridge there. And he goes like this. And he steps. And when he steps, he lands on a bridge. And then he comes to find out that his faith in the bridge being there was all he needed to get to the other side. He needed to have faith that that bridge was there. We need to have faith that God's got the bridge for us. That mountain to get to the other side ain't so big when God's got a bridge there. But if we're not willing to take that first step of faith, God's not willing to put the bridge out for us. We got to be there. We got to be ready. We got to be willing, and we just got to go. I talked to my brother-in-law a lot about where God has him, and he was saying when he went to North Carolina, it was like his first step of faith. When he took that step out of West Virginia where he was comfortable and went to North Carolina, got out of his comfort zone, it was like, that's when he felt God working. Because that was when God said, he said, I'll go where you have me to go. And he said, I'll step away and leave my comfort zone behind. But we got to be willing to get out of that comfort zone because we get comfortable. We get comfortable. I tell people at work all the time. People ask me about my job and what I do and everything, and I never try to explain it to anyone because it's just unbelievable. It's not worth it, right? As much as I've tried to explain it to my mother-in-law, she don't get it, so... But the thing is, with my job is I move around all the time. I spend about 2 years in a single position, and I move to another position, and I spend another 2 years in that position, and I move to another position. And I often tell the young people that are just starting, what does it take to succeed? I say, one, have fun. I said, two, when you get comfortable, move. When you get comfortable, it's time to get out of your comfort zone. I said, because you won't succeed if you sit in your comfort zone the whole time. You won't make any progress if you're just going to sit where you're comfortable. Listen, that chair is pretty comfortable. I could sit there all day long, but I'm not going to get to where I need to be if I sit in that chair all day long. And that's the way it is at my job. I move around. I do every couple years. I joke because every time a kid was born, I took a new job. And people laugh at me, but that's exactly what happened. First kid was born, I was in my master's program, and I started my master's program while Shay was pregnant with Logan and had the baby the first week of. And as soon as the baby was born, I ended up getting a job somewhere else and moved that job. And then when Levi came along, no sooner did he come along, I switched over to another company in Raritan. And then Kyle came along, and I switched over to another position in Raritan. But I just moved around because I don't like to be comfortable. If I'm comfortable, then I know I'm probably not where God wants me to be. If I'm too comfortable, then I'm not where God wants me to be. Because I know He's got more in store when I get out of that comfort zone. I know He's got more blessings for me when I get out of there. So, a faithful servant. You got to be there. You got to be ready. You got to be willing, and you just got to go. It's a simple message. It's not something complicated. But if you take anything away from this, take Elisha's words for what he meant to Elijah. I will never leave thee. He said, take away that, where is it? And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. I will not leave thee. Take the message that you're not going to leave thee. You're not going to leave pastor. You're going to stand by where God wants you to be. I don't expect pastor to go off the deep end and start becoming a Calvinist or anything like that. I don't think we got to worry about that. Pastor's a good man of God that we have, and we need to be faithful to him. But more importantly, when we're faithful to him, we're faithful to God. And that's what God wants us to do. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the faithfulness of Elisha. Lord, we thank you for those men of faith that you recorded for us that we can learn from. Lord, we thank you for all you do in our lives and how, Lord, you just take those, you make those little steps big steps. Lord, because we can't do them without you. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit power here tonight. Lord, I believe you're working in hearts and I thank you for that. I know it's not me, Lord, it's all you, and I lift you up and thank you for using me. Lord, I do pray for our pastor. I pray you'd encourage his heart this week, Lord. I pray you'd encourage the hearts of these people here tonight and in our church, Lord, that they'd be here all week, be ready to get hot and sweaty under the tent, Lord. And we pray you'll send some cool weather so it's not so uncomfortable. But, Lord, we pray whatever it takes, Lord, to stir our hearts, Lord, we pray you'll do that. We do pray for safety on Saturday. We pray the tent for the men traveling down to pick up the tent and taking it down and when it goes up Saturday afternoon, Lord, we pray you'll keep everyone well hydrated, Lord, and keep us safe that no one gets injured, no one gets hurt, and the tent goes up smoothly and quickly, Lord, as you've done each and every year so far. Lord, just work in hearts this week. Prepare us for the preaching of your word this weekend. Help our prayer chain, Lord. We know we call it out to you, Lord, and we hold that 24 hours up so we can really call out our needs to you. And we pray you'll hear those prayers and see them met throughout this week. Lord, we hold these things up to you, ask you to take us home safely now tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.